Betty, thank you for enduring yet one more quartet. And again, Paul, where are you, Paul? Oh, yes, right. Thank you for both of you for making the trip from Apsley to be here. And that was a very memorable moment. And I want you all to tell Harvey how much we missed him. Will you do that? Well, Jesus makes an amazing statement about himself in the book of Matthew, chapter 20 and verse 28. Here's what he says. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. If you know anything about the life of Jesus, you know that he modeled this lifestyle of service in his ministry here on planet Earth. Perhaps one of the most powerful examples of his heart to serve is recorded for us in John chapter 13. And you'll remember that this event took place during the Last Supper that he shared with his disciples. Here's the way it reads. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. What that means is he was going to show them just how much he loved them. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Let me show you the title slide again, because I want you to notice the pitcher and the basin and the towel. Do you see it there? You might remember that last Sunday when we talked about serving, the servant heart of a mom and a friend, I mentioned that the symbol of the towel and the basin is probably one of the major Christian symbols of service. So here's what I know to be true. If we want to live and love like Jesus, we'll need to become involved in ministry unselfishly serving others. Now, just very briefly this morning, I want to share with you two, I'm going to call them truth principles about serving that I think will support this idea that I'm trying to share this morning. Here's the first principle. God created us to serve. God created us. That's you and me to serve. Here's the scriptural evidence of that. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I think that's biblical evidence that God created us to serve. I think most of us are familiar with the Salvation Army uniform. You've seen it somewhere, at least at Christmas time, maybe when they were beside the kettles there, ringing their bells. Did you notice what was on the lapels of his uniform? It's a big letter S, right? Now, I've got to confess here, for a long time, I assumed that the S represented the S in Salvation Army. But then I talked to a friend who was in the Army, and he said, oh, no, that the two S's stand for saved to serve. Isn't that neat? Can you think of wearing that around every Sunday when you went to church? I have been saved to serve. Or if you prefer, I have been saved to serve, because you see they're interchangeable. You didn't need to know that. I want to share the second truth principle. God has gifted us to serve. We're not only created to serve, but we're gifted to serve. The scripture that I want to share here, and there are so many, but I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to what? To serve one another. I came across this interesting graphic on the internet, and I think it's very appropriate that I share this with you this morning, because today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is 50 days following the resurrection, and it's a day when we commemorate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Now, as you look at this graphic, I hope you can see that there are three main elements here. The person of the Holy Spirit is represented by the dove on the left-hand side of the picture. The idea of empowering believers, Christians like you and me, I think is represented by the church image in the middle of the diagram. And then to impact their world is represented by the picture of the globe on the right-hand side of the picture. I thought this was so neat because this is really what it's all about. The Holy Spirit wants to empower us as believers so that we can serve in ways that will impact our world for Christ. I'm not sure what happened. My wall went blank. Did your wall go blank? Not to worry. Well, the testimony of the Apostle Paul, and by the way, we had the privilege of looking at this in our Bible study on Wednesday evening, in Colossians 1:29, supports this idea. Paul says, this is very personal, he says, "That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." See, Paul understood that his ministry was energized and empowered by the Holy Spirit. He had been created to serve, but he had also been gifted to serve. A few weeks back, I mentioned Pastor Rick Warren. And in his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he talks about discovering our ministry shape. I'm just going to review this because I think this is really important. S-H-A-P-E, an acrostic, the S in shape stands for spiritual gifts. We need to know what spiritual gifts God has given us. These are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to every believer to minister to other persons he brings into our lives. The H in shape has to do with our heart or our passion. These are the deep desires and interests and inclinations birthed in our heart by the Holy Spirit himself, our heart. The A in shape stands for aptitudes and abilities. These are your natural talents. We call them natural, but they're God-given nonetheless. Your skills, your competencies. And you need to understand what these are if you're going to find the optimum place of ministry and service that God has for you. The P in shape is for personality type. All kinds of personalities are needed to accomplish God's will. Your personality will affect how and where you use your spiritual gifts and your abilities to the glory of God. And then finally, the E in shape is for experience. Your personal experiences shape how you minister, the good ones and the not so good ones. Part of this would include your educational qualifications, experiences that you've had that are work-related, experiences as a volunteer, experiences in church, experiences out there in the real world. All of these experiences help to make you what you are. The other factor here, your current present reality will determine what you can minister at. If you're a mom with three little kids at home under the age of three or four, that's going to impact what you're able to do in terms of right now ministry. Now, I want to just throw this in. If you are interested in exploring your ministry shape, I would invite you to speak to me, or if you'd like, email me. And if there is sufficient interest in this, I would be willing to arrange a discovery session where we could meet together, interested persons could meet together, and we could look at this whole concept of my ministry shape. I want you to know what my desire is. My desire is to help every believer that I can discover a personal ministry that is first of all gift-based and secondly passion-driven. Because I know that when this happens, it will result in that person experiencing joy and a great deal of fulfillment to the glory of God. Another way I like to think of it is that God's mission, His great global ministry plan, is like a huge puzzle. But did you notice there's a piece missing in the middle of that puzzle? Because God has created and shaped and gifted you, every believer, including you and me, we are a unique piece in the puzzle of His great mission plan. God delights to help us find our place. In other words, find where we fit in, because we are the missing piece that God is looking for. And once we're fitting in, He then empowers us to take our place in His master plan, His great global mission. I believe it's our privilege and our responsibility to find a place of ministry and or service and fill it. I was thinking of a person that I have a great deal of respect for. He's in heaven now, but his name was Samuel Logan Brengel. And as a young man, he felt the call of God upon his life. And so he went to college, and then he went to Boston Seminary to prepare for the ministry. He was exceptional. He wanted to be a great preacher, and he was very gifted at preaching. And he was offered the largest Methodist church in the northern part of the state of Indiana. But God had a different plan for Samuel Logan Brengel, and He led him to offer himself to the Salvation Army. Now, let me tell you, back in those days, the Salvation Army is not respected, or was not respected like it is today. And it was with fear and trepidation that Brengel offered himself to General Booth, the leader of the Salvation Army. And I've got to tell you, Booth was very skeptical about this young man. He thought he was too gifted. He thought he was too well educated. And Brengel had to actually, plead with him, give me a chance. And so Booth said, okay, I'll give you a chance. And he sent him to a Salvation Army training school, but it was only on a trial basis. And the very first job that was assigned to the young Brengel was to shine the boots of the other cadets at the training camp. He was much older than most of them. And he tells in his journal that when he sat down there on the steps, surrounded by all these scuffed and dirty boots, with the shoe polish and the brush and the rag, he said, all of a sudden there was a flash of resentment in my heart. I found myself thinking, I could be the pastor of a great church back home, and here I am polishing shoes. But you know what happened? Suddenly, the Holy Spirit gave him a picture not unlike the one that's just been put up. I showed this to you last Sunday. This is a bronze statue on the campus of Indiana Wesleyan University. And of course, it's Jesus washing Peter's feet. And that was the picture that the Holy Spirit brought to Brengel's mind there. And all of a sudden, it was like a light came on. And he said, Lord, if You could wash Your disciples' smelly feet and be joyful about it, I can be joyful shining boots here at this training center. And it transformed him. His heart became filled with joy. And he had a sense of purpose and fulfillment. And interestingly, he went on to become one of the greatest preachers and teachers and writers, particularly on the subject of holiness that the Salvation Army has ever known. Well, let me make some brief practical applications. I want to begin by affirming you as a congregation. I just have to tell you, and I'm not just making this up or, spinning you a yarn, but I really believe that you are the most serving congregation that I've ever had the privilege of being a part of. Given your size, you have an unbelievably high number of people engaged in volunteer ministry, and I commend you for that. Many of your ministries are within the church, and I know I shouldn't do this because I'm gonna leave some out, and I apologize in advance. But some of you are in ministries of leadership, like our board of elders and ministry team leaders. Some of you are on a ministry team. There are ministries of care, ministries of worship and music. The guys in the media booth back there, ministry to children. Oh, man. Pastor Holly mentioned about Friday night when the Bible study group that I've been leading volunteered to provide childcare for any children of parents that wanted to go to the young adult night out. What an amazing time we had. I watched these people. I watched Helen running around the circle, dragging two or three little kids with her. I thought, sure, she's going to have a coronary, but all she did was have a great big laugh. It was amazing. I wish I could describe it more, but members of my Bible study class and some others that helped out, thank you so much for ministering to the children, but also to their parents in that significant way. We also have people who are volunteering and ministering to youth and to adults. We have people who volunteer to keep our facilities in the amazing shape that they're in. We have people who volunteer with secretarial kinds of things. We're going to hear about Betty, and she has been one of those. Maintenance things. We have people who volunteer to keep the library up and running. People in the finance area. People helping others connect with each other in the kitchen and food prep. People who set up and clean up for major events. And I could go on and on. Do you get the picture? We have lots of people that are engaged in significant ministries within the church. But it doesn't stop with the church. We go beyond the church. We have the Breakfast Club. We have Come Cook With Me. We partner with a number of social agencies in our area here. And then we have the global stuff where we have missions initiatives. Our visa team to Mexico City. I'm not sure if New Brunswick can be termed global, but it's certainly a significant outreach ministry that we heard about this morning. And then we have right in our congregation, Adam and Ashley Curtis, who this very week, are going to fly to, I never know how to say it. How do you guys say it? Niger or Niger or?
I was told by one of my classmates, Niger.
Oh, wow. Now I got a third option. So whenever you speak to me, it'll be one of the three. I can't guarantee which one it will. Okay. Anyway, isn't it amazing that this church has a young couple who are going to Niger on this week to explore what God has for them in their future? I hope you're feeling very good right now because I am affirming you as a congregation that's incredibly involved in ministry and service. Having said all of that, as involved as we are, I did a quick read through the bulletin. Guess what? At least six opportunities for more ministry that is needed. I talked to Pastor Holly about this, and there are three areas of particular need. She mentioned one this morning. We really need some people who will minister to our little ones in the nursery. Now, folks, I know that's a tough assignment, but I believe that Jesus will call some of us to that very ministry. Then looking out into the summer, August 8 to 12, we're going to have Vacation Bible School, and we're going to need lots of volunteers for that. And then these wonderful guys who work back in our media booth, our sound booth, they are needing some more people who will learn the skills and develop the competencies to do the computer and the projection and all of that good stuff. I have here in my notes, there is a longer list on the bulletin board in the foyer with some additional needs, but if I told you that, it would be a lie because I forgot to put it up there. But I will look after that in the not too distant future. God help me. Okay. Let me bring this right down to personal response for you and for me. I want to challenge you this morning to do three things. Here's the first one. I want you to ask God to reveal to you any new personal ministry or service, assignment or assignments that He has for you. Did you follow through all the variables there? Ask God to reveal any new ministry assignment that He might have for you. And here's the second thing. Oh, you know what? That is the second thing. Jim, are you doing better than I am back there? Okay, that's the second thing. Let me share with you the first thing, okay? Can you do that? Are you there already? Oh, yeah. You can see why this should come first. Affirm the fact that God has created and gifted you for ministry and service. You need to really believe that. You need to say, God, I think this is true. I think that you have created me and you have gifted me to serve you and to serve others. Okay, so that's one. We've already seen two, so let's go to three. And this is kind of the kicker. Agree in advance to accept the personal assignment or assignments He directs you to. Now, you say, Pastor Vic, why in the world would you suggest that? Well, here's what I know to be true. If we agree in advance to do what He directs us to do, His direction will be much clearer and much more specific. Have you found that to be true? I hope you have. Would you let me pray with you just very briefly? There's one more slide that I want to share, but first I want to pray with you. Father, I just want to thank you for this amazing congregation. Lord, I'm very pleased that Pastor Lloyd and Karen could be here because this congregation is a part of their legacy, and I affirm that publicly this morning. And Lord, I pray that we won't rest on our laurels and we won't be content with just all of the good in the past and the present, but that we will look to you to lead us and guide us for the future. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to transition into communion. And I want to remind you of the rest of the verse that I showed you at the beginning, Matthew 20:28. And remember, the first part says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and here's the rest of it, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Would you agree that Jesus' ultimate act of service was to give His life in your place and my place on the cross of Calvary?